Good morning, everyone.
Morning.
It's good to be here with all the rain and everything. I have a confession to make. I actually broke the speed limit coming here today. I got away from home a little bit early, or a little bit late, rather. And of course, I hit every red light there was on the street. But thanks to the Lord, we're here, and we're glad to be here with you. It's awesome. We were here a few weeks ago, and it's truly a blessing. My wife, unfortunately, couldn't be here. She's not feeling well this morning, so she's at home. I would like to take a moment, if you don't mind. We're going to try something a little bit different. I'm going to use this little machine up here. If you can hear it, I hope you can. But I would like to sing you one of my favorite songs before we get started, if that's all right. Okay? This song is called More Than Wonderful. I hope my voice doesn't crack up too much here. Can you hear that okay? He promised us that he would be a counselor, a mighty God and the Prince of Peace. He promised us that he would be our Father, would love us, love that wouldn't cease. I tried him and I found his promises are true. He's everything he said that he would be. For he is more wonderful than my mind can conceive. He's more wonderful than my heart can believe. He goes beyond my highest hopes and fondest dreams. He's everything that my soul ever longed for, everything he promised, and so much more than amazing, more than marvelous, more than miraculous could ever be. He's more than wonderful. That's what Jesus is to me. I stand amazed to think this King of Glory would come to live within the hearts of men. I marvel just to know he really loves me. When I think of who he is and who I am, for he is more wonderful than my mind can conceive. He's more wonderful than my heart can believe. He goes beyond my highest hopes and fondest dreams. He's everything that my soul ever longed for, everything he promised, and so much more. More than amazing, more than marvelous, more than miraculous could ever be. He's more than wonderful, more than wonderful. That's what Jesus means to me. He's everything my soul ever longed for, everything he promised, and so much more. More than amazing, more than marvelous, more than miraculous could ever be. He's more than wonderful, more than wonderful. That's what Jesus means to me. He's more than wonderful, eh? He's more than marvelous. He's more than miraculous. More than what my mind can ever conceive, that's for sure. What my heart can believe. The things that he's done in my life has just been fantastic. And I am so proud to say that I am a Christ follower today. That he is my God, that he is my King. He is my Lord and he is my Savior. And he is my friend. And it's wonderful. And you know, talking about what our mind can conceive, this sounds terrible, but the message that I have in store today from the Lord is managing the mind. Do you ever think about that? Managing, training your own mind? It's quite a deep subject, I'll tell you. And a lot of people can spend a lot of time on this two verses, but I'm not going to spend that much time, even though you've given me plenty. But I think it's time we had a little bit of a recap from when I was here the last time. If you remember the last time we were here, and if you have your Bibles with you, you can turn to Philippians chapter 4, if you would, please. Philippians chapter 4, verses 4 through 7. It's a couple of verses that brings together just what the Apostle Paul wants us to understand and wants us to pay attention to. I have called this message, as I have told you, Managing or Training the Mind, to which, believe me, I have no credentials to speak on this. I am not a doctor. I don't know anything. And if you know me, you know that my mind, quite often, I'm a very scatterbrained kind of a person. So my mind is scrambled. So please, I'm going to ask you just to pay attention because I'm sure that you're probably a little bit more alert. But before we get into this, let's just have a word of prayer. Gracious Father, we thank you so much for your goodness. We thank you that you are a marvelous God. We thank you that your love is far past our finding out. And Lord, we just thank you that you're there and that you're here with us right now in this place. We just pray, Lord, that the Holy Spirit may be able to work here today, that your will might be done. And our Heavenly Father, that the words that are spoken here today might be your words, and that you alone might be glorified, and that you, our Heavenly Father, will be known to all today as the Savior of sinners. And our hearts Savior. We thank you for your love. We praise you for what we expect for glory. We praise you what you've done today, what you've done yesterday, and Lord, we just thank you for what you're going to do for us. And we just give you praise and glory today. Bless each person that's here. Give them listening ears to what you have to say. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, let's have a little bit of a recap here. If you remember, we spoke about this text where the Apostle Paul wanted us to rejoice in the Lord. And he said, rejoice again. I say it again. Let's read it together here. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I will say rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Now, it says up here that we're to let our gentleness be known. And I mentioned last time that I believe that each one of us have a little bit of gentleness in us, a little bit of sweetness in us somewhere, don't we? I think so. And if some of you are shaking your head like you don't know, maybe I could ask the person beside you. They could tell me just how sweet you really are. But we said that we need to have our sweetness to shine through so that all could see just who we are and where we come from. And yet our earthly times, we find it very hard to be rejoicing, have our gentleness. Sometimes that's the farthest thing from our minds, especially when things, tragedy strikes us like sickness, maybe even death. We just said goodbye last night at 10:45 to a young lady. She was 96 years old, and her name was Kay Vandewater. Some of you may know her. She is a wonderful lady. She had a wonderful testimony. She was a great girl. But when these things happen, it seems like even though we try to prepare ourselves, we are never ready. And it kind of always catches us off guard. But you know, she said to me one night, well, she said several things. One night she said, I know where I'm going, and I'm ready. She said, I'm ready. And I used to joke with Kay quite a little bit, and I used to tease her, and I was thankful she had broad shoulders because I used to tease her a lot. And we were talking one night, and I said something to her, and I don't remember what it was, and she said to me, she said, well, she said, you're stupid anyway. And then she turned to my wife, and she said, all men are stupid. I don't think I agreed with that, but anyway, that's what she said. But when things like that happen, sometimes it's not easy to be happy. But we were happy for her because she was diagnosed with brain cancer 6 weeks ago, and she didn't linger long, and the Lord took her home. So we're very thankful. But I mentioned to you a few years ago that a gentleman wrote a song, Don't Worry, Be Happy. Do you remember that song when I was on the radio? Yeah, that's not always easy to be happy, especially with things that are going on in our world today. When we look at the wars, you know, the Bible says we're going to hear wars and rumors of wars. And there are a lot of them going on right now all over the world. The demonstrations that are taking place, all the protests, all the unrest that's in our world today, it really makes you wonder just what is going to happen. But you know, Satan enjoys it when we are upset. Satan enjoys it when our guard is down because he can come in and he can use every tool that's in his toolbox to bring us down, to take us away from the Lord. And he does. He uses it all. But now Paul is telling us not to be anxious about anything. And as we said, this is tough. But I told the story when I was here a few weeks ago that probably you remember about this young couple that got married. And they were really enjoying the married life. But after they were into it for a few years, this gentleman's wife started to be concerned, and she was very anxious because she figured that somebody was going to break into their house. And she kept this up day and night. And for 10 years, she did this. Then all of a sudden, somebody broke into their house and woke them both up. So the man, being the man that he was, he got up out of bed, went downstairs, and who do you think he found? He found a burglar. So he stopped and he looked at this burglar and he thought for a minute and he said, the burglar, he says, have you got just a minute to spare? And the burglar was kind of dumbfounded and he said, yeah. Well, he said, I'd like you to come up and meet my wife because she's been looking for you for the last 10 years. You know, anxieties and this part of our body can really get a hold of us sometimes. It really can. And unfortunately, it takes us away from the Lord sometimes because we get so anxious and we get so upset that we forget to pray. We forget to say, God, just help me here. And you know, Jesus said that whenever we get into situations like this, he has always prepared a way for his children out. He's always prepared a way for us to get out. So, yes, we do worry about these things, but we are told by the Apostle Paul that in every situation, by prayer, by petition, with thanksgiving, we are to present our requests to God. And you know, I think sometimes, maybe I'm wrong for saying this, but I'm going to say it anyway. Sometimes our anxieties can get so bad sometimes that we think God really isn't there. You know, we don't see his hand working. And especially in the time, and especially for folks that don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, and they don't know to call on him, they can get very angry with God. And I think sometimes Christians can get angry with God. Like, why would you do this? You know, how come this had to happen? It's just not right. Look at so-and-so, how healthy or how sick they are. Why couldn't it have happened to them? I believe these thoughts go through our minds. And you know, I think that's all right, and that can be healthy as long as we remember to turn the clock back and that God is always there. And he's always waiting, and he's always listening for us to come back and say, Lord, I'm sorry I got angry. I'm sorry I got angry. But that's the human part of us, isn't it? That's the human part. It is. So we want to present all of our requests to God. And as I mentioned before, this is a part, especially with prayer, that Satan doesn't like very much, because the Bible says that we live by faith, not by sight, because what is seen is temporary. Everything we have around us is temporary. It can be gone in a moment, in a moment. But what is unseen is eternal. It's eternal. We can't work our way into heaven, or can we be good enough? As our next verse tells us in Ephesians chapter 2, it says, for by grace you have been saved through faith. And it is not of yourself, but it's a gift from God. It's a gift, ladies and gentlemen. It is a real gift. Not of works, lest any man should boast. Jesus does not get tired. He's not a fair weather friend that will come today and be gone tomorrow. We, you and me, we need Jesus to help us. And we can ask Jesus to come into our hearts. And if we do it with all sincerity, then he will come and he will dwell with us and he will live with us. But the big thing is when we ask him into our hearts, then we have to be willing to let him do his work in us. Because it's not by works. Remember, we said it's not by works, lest any man should boast. It's by what God is doing inside us that gives us eternal life. and Satan is certainly waiting to take us astray. Now, let's have a look at our verse for today, the next two verses. It says this, it says, finally, brothers and sisters. Now, this is the last chapter in Philippians, and I wonder if the people at that time were happy when the Apostle Paul finally said Philippians. Maybe they were tired of listening to his letter. I don't know. But he says, finally, brothers and sisters. He was just trying to tie up some loose ends, I believe. Now, pay attention. It says, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, whatever is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. And then he says, whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. The God of peace will be with you. I heard a song, and I think I mentioned this the last time too that I was here, and I don't know all the words, but I know a little bit of the chorus, and it says, if coal can turn to diamonds, and if sand can make a pearl, if a caterpillar can turn to a butterfly, then love can change the world. And if we have God's love and God's peace within us, then we're going to go back and let our sweetness shine through, aren't we? That's what we're going to do. The Apostle Paul wants us to think carefully about these verses because they're important for a Christian walk. If you are like me, as I mentioned earlier, your mind might be a little bit flighty. Henry Ford said this. He said, thinking is one of the hardest things to do. And he said, that's probably why so few people engage in doing it. Right? Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. But if our minds are not thinking on Jesus and his wonderful love, what do we fill our minds with? Possibly politics, maybe our neighbors keeping up with the Joneses. How about school for young people? Now here's a biggie, how about television? Do we have a problem with television? I have a problem with television. I love boxing, I do. And every time I turn on the boxing channel, my wife says, turn that noise off, she says. What about vacations? Do we think about our vacations? About work that we're going to be doing? What about work here in the church? We think about, well, what needs to be done? What needs to go here? What needs to be there? Do we stop and say, Lord, what do you want me to do today? That's very, very important. But these are things that we kind of get hung up on here. But our minds are on anything sometimes than on the Lord Jesus Christ. So what does fill our minds day to day? Think about it. Think on these things. Some people will say to you, they'll say, well, just follow your heart and that will get you through. But you know what the Bible says? The Bible says that the heart is deceitful above all else and beyond cure. Who can understand it? The heart likes the worldly things. It loves the worldly things. It's our job to change that. And it says in the Bible that we can train our minds. We can. And I'm trying every day. And believe me, it's a real trying thing to do. But I am trying every day. Proverbs says this. It says, as a man thinks in his heart, so he is. So if we are the sum of our thoughts, let's get our minds focused on the things of God that he would have us focus on. Jesus commands us to think on these things. He tells us in the Bible that we can train our minds. He also says in Isaiah 1st chapter, verse 18, Come and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Let us reason together. Let us pay attention together. We are not to be conformed to this world, but we're to be transformed by the renewing of our minds. Come and let us reason. He doesn't say, here's the Bible, figure it out for yourself. He says, come and let us reason together. He says, let us study together. When we pick up the Bible, let us have a word of prayer and say, Lord, just direct my thoughts. Just direct my path and the way I'm going. Let's just have one more quick look at our verse again. And I, of course, I'm reading from the NIV. It says this, it says, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, whatever is excellent or praiseworthy, think on these things. These are the qualities that the Apostle Paul lived by. Even when he was captured and he was imprisoned, even though he was going through all of his trials, these are what he had his mind on. And these are the things that we should keep our minds on, even in tough times, as well as in times of plenty. Paul is saying that the scripture or the Bible is there to govern our thoughts and to govern our life. It's a teaching tool, the Bible. Listen carefully and see, how do you stack up today to all of these words that he's got? True means accurate, correct, verifiable, faithful, vivacious, noble means honorable, respectable, reverent, and dignified. Right is just, fair, good, upright, righteous, proper. Pure is clean, clear, crisp, fresh, sparkling, unpolluted. Lovely is means good, enjoyable, pleasant, nice, admirable, commendable, worthy of admiration, worthy of commendation, praiseworthy. Excellent is very good, superb, outstanding, magnificent, and high quality. And high quality. Praiseworthy, now it says that it's admirable again. Credible, worthy of admiration, deserving, esteemable, and excellent. How do we do? Do we line up with all these words? It's hard, isn't it? Paul says, whatever you have learned or received or you have heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice. Put this into practice. Because if you do, then it says that the God of peace will be with you. Let's make it a little bit easier. Whatever is true is noble, isn't it? Whatever is right, it is pure. Whatever is lovely, it is admirable. Sure it is. Whatever is praiseworthy, think on these things. That makes it a little easier. That verse all comes together in one package for you and for me. That's a package for you and me to hang on to for life. It really is. And the God of peace will be with you. You know, we talk about it, and we talk about this Apostle Paul saying all these nice and beautiful words to us. You know, when you look back at it, our Apostle Paul, he was a murderer. He killed Christians. He took Christians back to the arena for the Romans to destroy. Until the one day when the Lord Jesus met him on the road and changed his life completely. And the Apostle Paul, I think I'm right, I could be wrong, has written most, or an awful lot anyway, of the New Testament. And he was truly a man to be followed, not in his first life, but in his second life, when the Lord said, you're mine. And you know what? When you accept Jesus as their Savior, that's what he says. You're mine. Now you're mine. There's nothing you can do about that. But God gave him the peace. He can give us the peace. What about today? Do you have that peace of mind today? I know there's a lot of people in our world, not only overseas, but even here, that would love to have that peace. A lot of people. Peace, and it comes from God himself. Peace that we might give to somebody is only for a short time. It says in Scripture, when you think about it, it says, what is your life? What is your life? When you look back on it from our age, you can understand the Bible when it says your life is nothing but a vapor. It's here for a little while, and then it's gone. And what then? And what then? There's a song that's sung by a young man, Owen Mack, I think his name is, and it says, if God were to come tomorrow, what then? Are you going to be ready? Are you going to be ready? Do you know how much time we are guaranteed in this old world? If you take one great big deep breath and let it out, that's all the time you're guaranteed. You don't know what's going to happen the minute you walk out this door. You have no idea. But if you've got Jesus Christ in your heart, I know for a fact, and it doesn't matter how good you are, how bad you are, because I've certainly been on the bad side, but that doesn't make one bit of difference. If you have Jesus Christ in your heart, then that big, deep breath counts for something. And the Lord Jesus said, you're mine. He said, you're in the palm of my hand. But he said, not only in the palm of my hand, he said, you're in the palm of my Father's hand. And to me, that's double security. That's double security right there. What we mentioned before, the things that we see here, they're all temporary. They're all going to go. And we were saying the last time I was here about Bethel Chapel, the church that a lot of us went to and went to for years. In the twinkling of an eye, in less than a week, the chapel was burned down. It was wiped out. You wouldn't even know that it even existed there. It's gone. But what was done in that church, the souls that were saved in that church, they're still here. And they belong to the Lord Jesus Christ. They do. So everything that's wiped away, make sure that our hearts are in tune with what the Lord wants. Because we have no idea. No idea. Things here are temporary, but things that are unseen are eternal. And the Apostle Paul is talking about this, and he said, this is the peace that we need. This is a peace that a lot of people hope for, a lot of people long for. And if you're God's child, and you trust him, and you follow him, he will give you peace. And it's awesome. I love it. If you don't know Jesus Christ today, or if you're wondering about it, whether you really know or whether you don't, I don't know everybody here. I know a few. But please don't leave today without him. Because he's the best thing you can have. It's the greatest gift in the world is to know that Jesus Christ is your Savior. It's the greatest, greatest gift. Mark Twain said one time, he said, it's not the things in the Bible that I don't understand that bother me. He said, it's the things in the Bible that I do understand that bother me. Don't let them bother you. Don't let them bother you. The book of Philippians is a book of encouragement. It's a book that's written to lift us up, to make us proud to be who we are, to make us proud to be a witness. It's a book to live by, not yesterday, not years ago when it was printed. It's a book to live by today. And I thank God for it. I do. I'd like to sing one more song if I can, if the Lord will let me do it. It's a song that we tried to sing last time, and it's a song that was written by Carol Robertson, and it's a song that was made famous by Elvis Presley. Now, I don't sound like Elvis Presley by a long shot, but nonetheless, this is called his hands, called One Pair of Hands. Maybe I should have a little sip of this Kickapoo joy juice before I start. This is a great song. I've loved it ever since I heard it the first time. It's been wonderful. Okay. Let's see what happens here. Well, nothing happens. Let's try again. There we are. You hear that okay? One pair of hands for the mountains, one pair of hands for the sea, one pair of hands made the sun and the moon, every bird, every flower, every tree. One pair of hands for the valleys, the oceans, the rivers, the sand. Those hands are so strong when life goes wrong. Put your faith in just one pair of hands. One pair of hands heal the sick. One pair of hands raise the dead. One pair of hands, they calm the raging storm. And thousands of people were fed. One pair of hands said, I love you. And those hands, they were nailed to a tree. Those hands are so strong when life goes wrong. Put your faith in just one pair of hands. Put your faith in just one pair of hands. Put your faith in just one pair of hands. One pair of hands. God is so good, isn't he? God is so good that he would lay down his life and shed that precious blood for you and me, that we could be saved, that we could be saved from this world of sin, that we can be saved from hell, and we can go to heaven. I thought I had my telephone turned off, but that's an alarm saying I've got to take a pill. Isn't that awful? Can't even come to church without an alarm telling you to take a pill. Anyway, I would like, Barb, can you help me one more time with just a verse or two of Blessed Assurance? And we'll drown out that noise over here. I'm not sure what number it is in your hymn book. Blessed Assurance, Jesus is Mine. But as you can hear, I'm going to need all the help I can get. Can you find it? What number? 394. 394. I love this song because the chorus, and I really want you to sing it at the chorus, because it says that Jesus is mine, and if he's yours, please don't be afraid to sing it out. Stand up with me. Here we go. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation, purchase of God, born of his spirit, lost in his... Sing it out for me. This is my story, yes, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, and this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine, of glory divine, heir of salvation, purchase of God, born of his spirit, lost in him. Here we go. And this is my story, and this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Thank you very much. That was wonderful. Let's just have a word of prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you for being our refuge. Thank you for being our hope. Thank you for being our friend, our God, our Savior. Thank you that we can sing songs like this, that this is my story. Lord, let the story not end here. Let it go on and let it go on. We just praise you, Lord, for what you're going to do. And I thank you for each person that's here today. And Lord, I just pray that if there is somebody in this crowd that does know you as their Savior, that they would not leave here today without knowing you, because you will give them the peace that passes all understanding. Now, Father, we just ask your blessing upon them. Just hold them tight and give them a good day today. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. Thank you, folks, very much.